I'm glad to say now I have a very special guest at the other end of the phone line, joining us from his taking time out from his busy schedule to be with us. And he is Mr. Robert Fennelly, who is the lead senior ecologist at EirGrid and is a chartered ecologist. And Robert himself has contributed to environmental considerations on something that we're getting familiar with here in Youghal, the Celtic Interconnector Project. And he's been working on that for a good number of years, since 2019, coordinating this term that we're going to hear a lot about in the coming years, biodiversity mitigation and enhancement. So it's my great pleasure to welcome, for the first time, but hopefully not the last, Robert to the programme. Good evening, Robert.
Hi, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. We were just saying off air that, thanks be to God, summer has arrived all over Ireland this evening and today.
No, it's beautiful out there. And I know she just called me as a special guest. That's very good of you. I'm a guest. We'll see how special I am.
Well, I think you have done a great work here on behalf of the people in East Cork in connection with the Celtic Interconnector. Now, a lot of people, lay people, would not be familiar with particular terms that are bandied about a lot in the papers and in the media, and maybe you could throw a little bit of light on these terms. So the first of those that we're hearing about, Robert, is this phrase, biodiversity. What exactly does that mean now to the ordinary man and woman listening to this programme? And could you tell us, why is it so important to be concerned about it?
Sure. Well, actually, Tommy, I think increasingly I'm more confident that, you know, across the communities of Ireland, we now kind of have a sense of what this is. It's really the diversity of all living things. You know, everything flies and flowers and whales and everything in between, and even some pretty unpleasant things, you know, bacteria and viruses and everything else would be included. So.
Yeah,
I don't know about you or your listeners, but for me, at a simplest level, I mean, nature, I need time in nature to sort of ground myself and to keep my head straight. And so, you know, it's good for our mental health. There's also, you know, evidence that, I mean, hospital patients recover quicker and apparently take fewer painkillers when they have green views.
Indeed. And sure, a lot of people listening here in East Cork and West Waterford, Robert, this evening would have their own garden, and they take great delight in even just walking around the garden and admiring some of the plants and the neighbours' plants. It does good, the head good, doesn't it, to get out and about?
It does indeed. And in fact, I'm very fond of the landscape of East Cork myself, and the red sandstone walls in particular, I find, and the lush fern growth that abounds on them, really, you know, it does it for me.
So biodiversity, in simple terms, Robert, if I've got you right, is really all the plants and animals, living plants and animals, here in East Cork and West Waterford. Would that be a fair summary?
And elsewhere, Tommy.
Yes. Oh, and elsewhere, of course, yeah. Now, tell me, I mentioned there another term that maybe people are beginning to hear a lot about in the local media, and that is the Celtic Interconnector Project, which is a big mouthful, and you're very much involved, I said in my introduction, since 2019. So maybe in simple terms again, Robert, you might give us an idea. What is the Celtic Interconnector Project all about and your role in it, please?
So the Celtic, so I work for EirGrid. EirGrid is the what we call the transmission system operator, which effectively means that we're the state company that, you know, manages and develops the energy highways, you know, the pylons and the underground cables, which bring the electricity from where it's generated to where it's needed. And, you know, this is really essential for the to keep the lights on across Ireland in every farm and home and building.
So it's kind of the pylons and the wires. You're not involved in the generation of electricity as such?
We're not, no.
No. So it's getting the electricity from where it's produced to the homes here in East Cork and West Waterford, in simple terms.
That's it.
And okay.
The Celtic Interconnector is a very significant infrastructure project, which is still on track to be constructed by the end of, to start construction by the end of this year. and it's effectively a subsea cable link between Ireland and France via UK waters, which is going to do all sorts of very important things in terms of security of energy supply, driving down the price for the Irish consumer, and most importantly, bringing and maximising the amount of renewable energy on the grid system across European countries.
So there's going to be a connection, if I understand you and the system right, Robert, that there will be a large cable, for want of a better term, going under the sea, buried in the seafloor, between France and Ireland, which will give us added and extra security, and we won't be so much dependent on, well, let's say Russian gas to give us a, and Russian petrol and that kind of stuff. Would that be correct?
That's it. It's one of the actually being recognised its importance at a European level. It's of course a project of common interest, which means that it's recognised at the European level as being a very significant piece of infrastructure. And you say it's a big pipeline, but just to give you a sense, Tommy, so the actual construction footprint at sea would be in the region of about 15 metres wide. That's 15 metres wide.
Wow. So it's quite large.
Well, I would say not so much perhaps in the grand scheme of the Irish Sea, but also once you once this cable makes landfall, which is on Claycastle Beach there, and once we have laid the cable and it's pulled in at sea, it'll be invisible to the human eye. In fact, there is already a similar cable which has been energised and operational since 2012, I believe, which is also managed by Airgrid from the Meath coastline to Pembrokeshire. That's the east-west interconnector.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you go for a jog or bring your dog on the walk for a walk on the beach at Laytown in Meath, you know you won't know it's there.
It's buried.
That's it.
And that's the plan for the one coming in here in Yall Beach as well. There'll be no cable visible.
That's it, 100%. So
excellent.
The cable will be laid at sea. There's then a duct which will be laid effectively beneath the existing car park there at Claycastle Beach, which will be the transition point for the sea cable once pulled in to join with the land cable. And the land cable then effectively makes its way for the vast majority of the distance within the public roads to minimise disruption to landowners and to farming practices, and over the course of give or take 50 kilometres up to the existing substation in Knockraha.
Okay. Right, and you have been involved with the Airgrid as on the science side, and particularly on the ecology side. And we mentioned biodiversity there. So, what are the biodiversity considerations of this interconnector coming ashore in Yall? What does it mean for the Yall area?
Well, actually, we've been very fortunate, and I suppose it shows that we plan our projects properly, and that we would contend that the ecology impacts are really minimal. We're not directly encroaching into any, offshore special areas of conservation, of which are scattered around the Irish coast. We're also not coming into any designated estuaries for wintering birds. There will be localized disturbance of some, locally important beach habitats and so on. But maybe one area that might be of interest or potential concern to people would be that after it makes landfall, we will be laying a duct within the Ballyvergan Marsh proposed natural heritage area, which is just inshore of Claycastle Beach there. But actually, as it turns out, we're trying to sort of build back better, which is the soundbite under the new European biodiversity strategy, because when we reinstate the land above that cable within the marsh after we lay it, we're going to put less of the reeds back than were there before. And in fact, the Ballyvergan Marsh, which is a cherished and rightly cherished natural spot of the local people of the Yall area and beyond, is actually drying out. Historically, the Irish state unfortunately has viewed, you know, wetland as being sort of badland, and you know yourself that laying drains would have been a feature of economic development in the past. So we're trying to do something proactive there to reverse some of that negative trend by re-wetting the marsh.
Excellent. So that's going to be a bone, really, to the plants and animals in living in the marsh itself.
Well, we would hope so.
Okay.
There are some key sensitivities also which we're avoiding within the marsh. So there's some notable bird populations, including the reed warbler, which is an sedge warbler, which are wonderful birds, which come all the way from West and South Africa every year. So they're just as fond of the marsh as some of the local people, you know?
Yes.
We're managing to time the works and to locate the works in such a manner as to not be unduly disturbing those bird populations.
And what time scale would you envisage? I know you can't, you're not a builder now or an engineer in that sense, Robert, but what kind of time scale would there be in terms of disturbance of the marsh itself? Is it weeks, months, kind of?
So you're talking a matter of months.
But okay.
My role as an ecologist is to ensure that we time those works outside of the sensitive seasons, or if there is, you know, due to construction program or procurement program delay, etc., if there is a need for us to work within the nesting season, we can, for instance, do an advanced clearance. So you clear the vegetation outside the bird nesting season, and then you'd lay the cable during the bird nesting season with protective hoarding, visual and noise hoarding around the works area.
Okay, very good.
There'll
be special measures anyway to help the nesting birds.
That's it.
Very good.
I'm a chartered ecologist, Tommy, which I'm quite proud of, because it was a bloody difficult process to go through. And one of the things that we have is a code of conduct. And if a chartered ecologist puts the foot wrong and doesn't do what's right for ecology, our chartered institute will be onto us and subjecting us to the full rigors of the institute. So we take our job very seriously, and we are sincerely committed to biodiversity protection.
Excellent. So maybe you could just AirGrid, we know, are the parent company. What is their overall approach to the area that you specialise in, biodiversity and the environment, when planning projects like the Celtic Interconnector coming ashore here in Yall? What is the approach of AirGrid?
Yes, well, I mean, as we've already said, AirGrid's real, you know, reason for being is not to deliver biodiversity gains, it's to deliver, you know, security of energy supply and to keep the lights on. Thankfully, having respect for the environment is actually written into the founding legislation of the company, and we've also been a bit of a trailblazer. I can't be certain of this, but I'm fairly sure that AirGrid would be one of the first public authorities to have an in-house ecologist. AirGrid has had an ecologist in place for well over 15 years now, which wouldn't be typical across other areas of the public sector. And We have in recent years, in response to the very troubling biodiversity crisis, which was proclaimed by the Irish government in 2019, and at the same time as declaring the climate crisis, we have increasingly embedded very firm commitments to not just protect biodiversity, but actually go beyond that and enhance the biodiversity across our projects.
Excellent. And this is a special week, Robert, and listeners, those of you who are into the environment might know a little bit more than the rest of us. It's National Biodiversity Week. Did you know that now, listeners? It is. And there are a few things maybe that, Robert, you might like to share with us that people can do in their own home or their own gardens for National Biodiversity Week. What would you suggest our listeners could be doing?
And isn't it great that there is a National Biodiversity Week? We previously had the Heritage Week, which was a week in August, but now increasingly we have more reasons to, you know, bring biodiversity into the public consciousness.
Yes.
So what I would recommend really is actually something very local, which is, I did a bit of Googling before I came on, and there is actually a talk in the Yall Library tomorrow at, let me get the time for you, but there's a talk tomorrow which is looking at simple ways to improve biodiversity through gardening, which is being run by Cork County Council. happening at 12 o'clock tomorrow in the library in Nuala, I believe. But some simple tips would be, you may have heard the mantra, don't mow May, which is a really brilliant piece of marketing for biodiversity because it's so easy to remember. So just put the mower away and try and you know, get into the way of thinking that an untidy garden is a happy garden, because if you can let the grass and the wildflowers get to the point of flowering and setting seeds, you're going to be increasing the number of insects in your garden, which is going to bring in all the birds to feed on those insects, and the web of life will be there for you, you know, to witness.
Or even to leave an area of your garden for wildlife for the rest of the year. Like, a lot of people, I think, are changing from maybe the pure green lawn of old. But if people do like their green lawn, if they left just a little area with a few nettles, daisies, that kind of thing in it, Robert, that would help the insects, wouldn't it, in their own way?
That's it. And a nettle is a great plant to choose, Tommy, because the nettle is the food plant of a number of native butterflies.
Yes.
In the vinested family of butterflies and tortoise shell, I believe. Nettles are actually a good plant for wildlife.
Excellent.
As are ivy. In fact, my one of my favourite species. I'm not sure. Have you ever seen the holly blue butterfly, Tommy?
Well, I'm sure I have, but I probably didn't recognise it as such. But tell us more anyway, Robert.
It's a tiny wee little butterfly. You'd probably think it was some sort of a day flying moth if you saw it. But it's a very, very beautiful little creature, and it actually emerges around this time of the year.
Yes.
And they lay their eggs. The reason it's called holly is because they lay their eggs on holly, and those eggs then hatch out into caterpillars, and when they take flight, we're treated to these beautiful little flashes of blue. Its second brood then at the end of the summer is actually on ivy. So holly and ivy are two other very good native plants to have in the garden.
There you are now, listeners. And I'm sure, Robert, if people are interested in biodiversity and helping the plants and animals, if they went along to their local garden centre, the good people there will be only too happy to point out plants good for insects and birds and things like that. There seems to be a growing trend in garden centres now. You'd often see the labels there, and our own local garden centres are very good at that.
That's it. I'd also recommend, just no commercial interest here, but Future Forests is a great website. If you just tap native into the search function there, it'll bring up a whole variety of native trees and plants, and they're delivered to your door for a very small delivery fee. That's also a good option, because unfortunately, Tommy, whilst some garden centres might be doing their bit, there is also, you know, a bit of an issue in terms of being sure that the plants you're buying are of native provenance.
Okay.
And there are some specialist suppliers out there.
Okay. That's one that you're recommending, Robert. Very good. Robert, it's been a pleasure and very informative having you on. And I'm sure as work progresses on the Celtic Interconnector, it'd be great to have you back, even from the environmental side, just to let us know what's happening and to reassure people about the biodiversity, the plants and animals here in East Cork. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. My special guest is Robert Fennelly. He's lead senior ecologist at EirGrid. He's been working on the Celtic Interconnector project since 2019, and he knows our own area of East Cork very well. Sorry, Robert, last word to you.
Tommy, apologies. Just a quick plug for a colleague of mine who's in Cork County Council, Sharon Casey, who's the ecologist there. And they're doing a walk in Harper's Island Nature Reserve, which is a beautiful place to go and witness wetland birds to celebrate Biodiversity Week, and that is starting tomorrow at 2 o'clock. There are some parking spaces for those with mobility issues, and if not, you can take the train and get off at Glen Tor.
And as you said, and thanks for the plug there, I didn't realise myself, tomorrow Saturday at 12 o'clock in the library here in Youghal, which is a link to another item we're doing a little bit later on, there will be a wonderful talk about biodiversity in your garden. Robert, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and please, will you be able to join us maybe in a month's time and update us even on plants and animals from your end?
I'd love to.
Thank you very much indeed. Representing EirGrid here, their lead senior ecologist, been a pleasure to have Robert on the programme. Have a lovely weekend, Robert, and thanks for joining us on the programme.
Thanks, Tommy. Put the mowers away.
Put the mowers away, listeners. Good man, Robert. Thank you very much indeed.